Reverend Lenore Norgard was called to the shamanic path in 1987. She underwent intensive training in core shamanism through the Foundation of Shamanistic Studies and was certified as a Harner Meth Shamanistic Counselor in 1993. She specializes in bringing healing to survivors of severe trauma. Lenore has been an activist for 35 years. She has developed shamanism for activist training and has worked intensively to bring healing to genderfying inner Northeast Portland and has been a leader in interfaith activist efforts in the local and national levels. She is known for creating new rituals for social healing, such as the interfaith peacemaking ritual across from the White House in 2005 for the Network of Spiritual Progressives and peacemaking rituals in Alberta Park for the Northeast Portland Interfaith Peace Group. Lenore was ordained by the Association for the Integration of the Whole Person in 1993 and founded Circle of the Living Earth in 1999. She is a member of the Network of Spiritual Progressives, the Institute of Noetic Sciences, and the Society of Shamanistic Practitioners and the Circle of the Foundation for Shamanistic Studies. She has a passion for ending racism and is active in uniting to understand racism as a trained interracial dialogue facilitator. Help me welcome Lenore Norgard.
Thank you. Well, it's wonderful to be here, and I want to underscore what the rabbi said about how far we've come in terms of interfaith work. As Madge mentioned, I've had the opportunity to work in interfaith work for the last few years, and as a person in an earth-based spiritual tradition, it's a pretty big deal. So I'm very excited to be here, and thank you for inviting me. Had a lot of responses to Jane's talk. It really was very exciting and so global. Somebody said, "Aren't you excited?" I said, "That's a hard act to follow." So I want to talk a little bit about my response when I first heard the theme for tonight of science, faith, and activism for a new cosmology. It really, really grabbed me because I have these three strands in my life about science, spirituality, and activism. I'm going to talk a little bit about my personal journey, hoping that will inform some of the things I'll say later. I turned 50 last year, and I think my personal journey isn't that unique. I mean, it's unique, but then I look at everyone around me and I see it's a whole wave that we're all going through together. So science. I was a very scientific child. My religious questions were like this. What is Jesus made of? I was raised in a Christian family. Why is Jesus always sad in regards to the Bible? But what if it's all a fake? Fortunately, my parents were very tolerant. My father was a Lutheran pastor. So I'm grateful that they were tolerant and actually wrote these questions down so that I could learn that I asked these things decades later. I was voted most likely to succeed in science in the sixth grade. My first career aspiration was to be an astronaut. It was dashed when I found out that NASA was part of the Air Force and part of the military. I couldn't do that. I didn't know what I was going to do after that. One of the things that my parents, and particularly my father, gifted to me from his faith was he always preached something that he called the social gospel. And what that means is that he would apply the scriptures to social issues of the day. So when I was a teenager, I actually started listening to his sermons. And he preached about things like the need to end the Vietnam War and the injustice of that war. He preached about civil rights. He preached about poverty and poverty programs and that, yes, indeed, we are our brother's keeper. That left a deep impression on me. Although I never was taken with the religious training that I was given, it never fit for me. I had a really kind of family crisis when it came time to be confirmed. I'll just say that the social gospel was something that I did take with me when I left home. When I did leave home, I became very, very active as a social activist. Actually, it started before I left home. In high school, I was involved in demonstrations against the Vietnam War. And then when I left home, I became very involved with all kinds of politics. I always believed from very early on that nobody could be free unless everybody was free. So I was involved in everything, the anti-war movement, Native American treaty rights, labor issues, civil rights, feminism. I was from a biracial family due to adoption, and that may be part of why I've always been very passionate about issues of race. The thing that was interesting when I was involved in all these politics, I became a socialist and I became a Marxist, which is very scientific. Talked about scientific materialism, scientific socialism, and there was a lot of science in it. I think it has accuracy to it. But there was also very much an anti-religion bias. And since I wasn't religious, it wasn't a real issue for me. But on the other hand, when they would make put-downs that religious people were just preaching pie in the sky, I was like, uh-uh, that's not what my dad did. That bothered me a little bit, but it wasn't a big issue. Then became a journalist. I lived in China for some time. So that's that strand. But the other thing that was going on through all this was that I suffered from really serious depression and periodic suicidality. I had a lot of heavy trauma in my childhood. And so that would come up periodically, and I would really suffer from that. And mostly I would just work a lot. In 1987, I was going through a period of really serious depression, and I was visited by a spirit. And it sounds so strange to say that in the culture, but I thought I could say that here tonight. I was visited by a spirit. I was somebody who had no particular interest in spirituality, didn't consider myself a spiritual person. I mean, I think we all are underneath, but I certainly didn't see myself that way and wasn't going that way. So when this spirit came to me and healed me of this depression, a depression that I'd suffered from for probably 25 years, needless to say, it changed my life. The things that resulted from that, besides the depression, was that I understood that I was no longer alone in the universe. And I was also given to understand that I would be able to do what I had come to do. I didn't know what that was, but it was very clearly communicated to me. So I'm telling you this because my spirituality is very much rooted in direct revelation, and it's very empirical. So one of the first thoughts I had after I had that experience, other than gratitude, which was tremendous, was, oh, this is what's been missing from the politics. This is what's been missing. Because what I experienced was, for the first time, an incredible sense, a very visceral, experiential sense of oneness that transcended all kinds of divisions. And I also experienced this incredible spiritual power for healing and for transformation. And I had the experience of being one with everything. It wasn't a belief. It wasn't something I read in a book. It was a direct experience. So after that, I started reading things. And eventually, I found shamanism, which fit my experience, because the spirit that came to me, not only were there not spirits in Lutheranism, this was an animal spirit. Now, there definitely weren't those. So anyway, I'll just stop with that part of the story. Just to say that I've really worked to integrate the spiritual understanding and power that I was blessed with into my social change work. And so that's what I was excited about tonight and really wanted to participate. One of the shifts that happened for me was a paradigm shift from social revolution to social healing, and starting to see that we're really all in this together. Madge mentioned the shamanism for activists training that I developed. For me, that was really, really exciting because I actually was able to get activists together, teach them how to access direct revelation, and really shift how they were looking at how to do activism in the world. I'm thinking of a workshop that I gave where it was meeting at the same time as the G8 summit or something, one of those big globalization things before 9/11 happened. And one of the things I have people do in one of these trainings is to do a collective journey, to together ask a question that's of concern to everybody, and then to compare notes on the information we get. So everybody wanted to ask, well, how do we stop globalization? I had to really think about it. I said, well, you know, my heart is really with you. I really am feeling it. But what I've been teaching all weekend is how we only have a small part of the picture, and we don't know the biggest picture. And so by asking this question, we're assuming what needs to happen, and we don't have enough information. And what was so exciting was that people got it, and people were able to shift the question. And so what we asked instead was, what's our right relationship to globalization? which is a very, very, very different question. So it wasn't about controlling, you know, well, we know what needs to happen and we're going to make it happen, come hell or high water. It shifted to, okay, you know, there's a mystery here that's beyond what we know. And that's how what I feel a lot of my work is about in my teaching, is being able to embrace mystery and to give up the addiction to understanding everything with the intellect. You know, that we can't, the mystery of the universe is too wonderful and too complex and big to be understood with this little brain. But I can embrace it with my heart. So, do I still have a couple minutes? Okay. So I want to jump ahead to, when 9/11 happened, one of the things that I noticed for myself that kind of surprised myself was that as I heard the kind of warmongering and the jingoistic things on the radio, definitely was disturbing, but I didn't feel hate. And when I looked at Bush, I thought, there but for the grace of God. You know, that could have been me, and I'm so grateful it's not me. And I thought, you know, he's my brother. He's, you know, that could be me. And I was talking with a client, and I said something about this, and she said, this is why I say I don't think it's a unique journey. She said, yeah, you know, back when, I don't know who it was, she was talking about Reagan probably. Back when Reagan was in office, I used to visualize a bullet hole here. And after this happened, I started doing that with Bush, and I realized, oh no, this isn't it. This isn't the solution. This isn't going to work, and I can't do that. She didn't know what to do instead, but I just thought it was interesting, evolution. It might sound extreme, but I don't think it's that uncommon, really. People get upset. We're upset. You know, our country's been taken over. It's, you know, so by the devouring monster that devours everything. So I want to talk about a couple specific things that I've been thinking and writing about lately. One is that I think a lot about, well, why are we on this trajectory as a nation? Why are we on this trajectory, and how can we shift it? And one of the things I've thought about is that our collective body, the United States as a nation, was born in trauma. It was born in trauma for almost everybody involved. It was not just the Native people whose land was, you know, who were decimated and their land taken over and on all the horrors, some of which we know. It wasn't just the Africans who were sold into slavery and brought over into slavery. It was also a lot of Europeans who were rounded up and sold into slavery and indentured servitude who never got out. It was people who left their families behind in Europe and never saw them again. It was people who were shipped across the ocean because their families couldn't afford to feed them. I know, I learned a story recently that in Scandinavia it was common that if one of your children or relatives was, you know, emigrated to the United States, you would then hold a funeral. They just didn't exist anymore. And if you consider what communications were like then, that was very common. There won't be any further contact. And so we're a nation that's rootless for most of us, other than the Native people who've had their culture, you know, scrambled a lot by the colonization anyway. But my point is that there's so much trauma in the national body. And I think what happens is the repetition compulsion. You know, we keep repeating it, just like an individual does who has a trauma. And so, you know, doing continual wars of colonization, it's like that's what this nation has done from the beginning. Perpetrating wars, stealing resources from other people, particularly people who have brown skin. It's... I hate to say it, but it's an American tradition, you know, one that I want to change. And so how do we shift that? And I really believe that James talked about, I always forget how to say this word right, the amygdala? Did I say it right? I think that there's a collective amygdala I think that when you have a group of people, there's a collective memory in the national body about these traumas. And sometimes they come up, you know, during the 60s and 70s, there was a lot of work done by civil rights movement, Black Power movement, different movements that were inspired by those movements that were bringing up the true history of the country. And, you know, and we were starting to look at it and starting to, you know, do a little work around that. But then, you know, Reagan came in and it all got backburnered. So I really believe what we need, one thing we need to do to shift the trajectory is to work on with our ancestral level, the ancestors that we all have, what happened when they came here? For those of us whose ancestors came from elsewhere, which is, I don't know, 98% of Americans today. And of course, most of us have multiple strands, right? I mean, almost all of us have multiple strands. So, but to go back and to look at what happened when our ancestors came here, to honor that, to grieve that, so that we can shift the energy of our country and go forward in a different way, in a way that we honor each other, in a way that we honor the wounds that we've suffered as a people, because they're sacred. I think wounds are sacred. And if we can wash those out and come together as a whole, rather than all these divisions we have, you know, we're kind of addicted to divisions, different races, different classes, different sexes, et cetera, et cetera. But I think those can be mended if we can go back and do some really serious work about the founding of the country. And the way I think to do that is through ritual. I do a lot of work with ritual. And again, in terms of how do you get at the amygdala, and James again talked about sacred space. Is that my thing? Is that mine? Okay. What's it mean? 1 minute? Okay. Oh. Well, you saw that. Okay, I'm just going to say ritual. I think ritual is what it takes. Come into sacred space and align together energetically and bring in the spiritual power that's available to us from the unseen world. I think that's what we can do to really shift the direction. Okay, thanks.